Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, Episode 33, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on our show, we chat with Katie Clemens of Gedanke.com. Katie sells beautiful handmade journals that encourage people to record and share their own personal stories. Bethann and I had a fabulous time talking with Katie. She's so thoughtful in her approach to so many aspects of her life and her business, and I found her perspectives quite refreshing. She has a unique style of formatting her to-do list, which I thought was very helpful. She also shares about her new affiliate program for Gedanke.com. Try and ignore some of the little technical blips that you might hear throughout this episode. We were spread out all over the country for this little chat. I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Katie was in rural Montana, and Bethann was down in South Carolina. So as wonderful as technology is, sometimes it can't quite keep up with those far distances. But I think you'll find that the content that Katie shares is so worth the listen, and the technical little blips kind of fade in the background when you listen to Katie talk and share about her business and her family and her thoughts and advice on both. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the show, we are so excited to welcome Katie Clemens of Gedanke. Katie is a story catcher and journal crafter who is devoted to helping you find your voice, document memories, and embrace your life. Katie and her team make your journals in a repurposed airplane hangar that serves as her family's home and her workshop. They are committed to green living, and you can read all about their airplane hangar remodel and other life events in rural Montana at makingthishome.com. Katie also has a Gedanke affiliate program launching soon. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, ladies.
Katie, I noticed that it seems like you have such a unique kind of history and story, both personally and with your business. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your business and how you got started?
Sure. Well, my name is Katie Clemens, and I'm a fifth generation Montanan. And my husband, Martin, is actually from Germany. So the two of us were living in Berlin, Germany, when I started blogging in 2008. I was looking for a way to connect with other expats and, you know, kind of tell my parents a little bit about what we were doing. Fast forward to today, and we are in rural Montana now. We have a baby boy, and the three of us live in the back of an airplane hangar that we restored. Our home is just about 720 square feet, and we really like it, but, you know, it's very different than when we were in Germany, and so it's been an interesting adventure to kind of, you know, figure out how do I shift blog where I'm talking about expat life, my personal stories, into something that's also helping encourage other people to tell their stories and, you know, find the fabulousness in their lives.
So Katie, then you began the blog in 2008, and at what point did you add on your journal making business, or could you tell us about that side of your business as well?
Sure. Well, around 2009, my husband and I came back to Montana, and he was teaching me how to fly airplanes. You know, not very many women fly, and, you know, a lot of men dream of doing it. So I was always having people ask me, are you going to fly? Are you going to fly? And I was just like, oh, yeah, sure, one day. You know, like, I didn't really feel too interested in it because I'm not a very technical engineering and physics-oriented person. I'm much craftier, more interested in language and the arts. But we came back to Montana, and he started teaching me how to fly. It's actually at the airport where we live now. And I was supposed to be studying for my private pilot's license, and I just got this idea about these writing prompts that I started creating for myself so that I could be telling this really cool story about learning to fly. Because, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of women just, this isn't what we do. But the funniest thing is that flying every day had become part of my normal life. So I'd wake up and I'd go fly. And it didn't even occur to me anymore that, wow, this is really a rare thing that I'm doing. I started thinking about all of the really rare and awesome things that other women are doing that maybe they don't realize. And so while I was supposed to be studying, I started creating my first journals for Gedanke. I put them on Etsy and left for Germany the next week. So my sister was actually kind enough to be shipping them all from her college apartment.
How neat. That's nice that you had a sister that was ready to step in and help out.
Sisters are an awesome thing, huh?
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely agree. So from starting that Etsy shop, at what point did you transition to having your own website and having your shop over there?
Etsy is a really great way to open the doors for you to test your ideas and see if it's really something that you want to do. And I love Etsy for that. At that point, though, I felt like there were some things I wanted to be able to add to my shop to give people an experience and not just a product. So, for example, if you go to gedanke.com/share, you can flip through the pages of journals that all kinds of women from around the world and families and children have kept. So you can, you know, read through how they're responding to the entries, how they're decorating their journals, all the ways that they're choosing to document life. And I couldn't offer that on Etsy. So that was really the big push for me to step away from Etsy. And so then I went over to Big Cartel. And Big Cartel is a shop platform that is really good when you're looking for the next step. So you can, you know, you have your own domain, you have your own products. It's not linking into other people's things. And, you know, kind of like on Etsy, you can find yourself in this rabbit hole of looking at people's products. It really helps keep you centered around, or keeps your customer centered around the products that you provide. And right now, my husband has been building a whole new shopping cart platform for us. We're just redesigning, reevaluating the best experience that we can create for people. So with that, I should tell you that my husband, Martin, is, you know, your typical German, I suppose. He's an engineer. He's very techie. I call him just like my tech geek great guy because, you know, if I have a technical question at all, he is just on it. So I've been very lucky now as we're trying to expand where we're at that he can just really look at those things and tackle them for me.
That's so great. I love the way you are both able to work together in that way. And we've just heard so many neat stories about different brilliant business moms who are, you know, whose husbands compliment them and what they do. So that's really fabulous.
Yeah. If you and your husband can work together somehow, I think it's a really awesome thing. But, you know, at the same time, you have to make sure that you each have your own areas. At the end of the day, you know who's in charge of which things. So, you know, it's like he's in charge of getting the baby a bath. I'm in charge of dinner. You know, if there's things that we need to do with the employees or you know, like basic business things, like what's the hierarchy? You know, who makes those final decisions?
That's great advice.
Is the journals and the blog, is that his full-time occupation as well? Or is there something else that he does in addition?
Professionally, my husband is a pilot, a airplane mechanic, and an electrical engineer. So he like I said, very technical guy, right? So right now, though, his full-time work is on Gedanke and getting our site together. Our goal is that if the two of us really, you know, hunker down together and, you know, balance each other's weaknesses and strengths and really try to make this business something awesome, my hope is that one day then he can start doing some of the really cool things that he dreams, like with renewable energy and specifically with like introducing electrical systems into aviation, like we have electric cars.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's really exciting. A talented husband for sure.
Oh, yes. He's very intelligent.
So with having your workspace actually connected to your home, your living space, and having a relatively new baby at home. What does a typical day look like for you? How do you balance getting your work done, spending time with your son and your husband? How does that work?
Well, there's no such thing as balance, we've learned. There are times when it's a lot of work, and there's times when it can be a little more casual, you know, more family-oriented times. And so right now, we are in the midst of a really intense work time. So right now, our days would be like Martin comes to bed around 4 in the morning because he can get all of his really intense work done during the night when there aren't other pilots around, you know, like, hey, Martin, can you help me with this on my airplane? Or let's chat about aviation, which, you know, he'd love to do. But, you know, for some reason, pilots are morning people and get a lot of work done when they all go to bed. So then the baby and I are, you know, like, we're getting up in the morning. We're trying to be quiet, but our son Nicholas has just kind of started figuring out how to bang the cabinets in the kitchen. So we're spending a lot more time, you know, in the office. And Nicholas, fortunately, since about 6 months, has become an awesome napper. So that's when I'm able to get a lot of work done, because ultimately, you know, we want to get as much work done as we can right now so that we can get ready for as our season picks up. But at the same time, our top priority is our family and our son. So right now we don't have any childcare. It's just me and of course, Martin, too, when he's not really cranking out his projects. A lot of my work right now just requires like 5-minute kind of things here and there. And then, you know, during the nap time, that's when I really sit down and try to work. A great tool that I have found for juggling parenthood and my work is to keep a ongoing spreadsheet that lists what projects I have that I need to do and what are some of the actions for each one. So, you know, if I have 10 minutes, I can just pull up my spreadsheet and see, okay, what can I do right now? Because, you know, when you're trying to juggle your responsibilities as a parent, it's really hard to shift gears then and think, well, what work projects do I need? And so you could easily spend that entire 10 minutes trying to figure out what work you should be doing. And then your 10 minutes, you know, they're over. And you never know if it's 10 minutes mm-hmm. or if it's, you know, 2-hour nap or whatever you have.
I really like that idea. I think, is that what you're referring to? You had written a blog post about your like project list and you highlight the most urgent. Is that the system that you're referring to now that you wrote about
yes.
in your blog post? Okay.
Yes,
I thought that was a great idea to organize it by project because it's maybe a little bit easier to visualize or get in the mode, I would imagine, if it's by project. And then the idea of highlighting the most important or urgent and just looking at the list, easily seeing what's highlighted and going from there. I thought that was it seemed like a really good system, but one, I can't say that I've ever heard anybody else have a to-do list quite like that, but I really thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, I think one thing that I do is I keep it on the computer because, you know, sometimes the idea of, oh, crossing things off my to-do list, and so, you know, women will joke, I wrote this on my to-do list just so I could cross it off. And so in work, that's not what I'm trying to accomplish. You know, I'm trying to get as much done, actually, as I can. And I guess more of I want the feel-good, awesome things to be, like, sitting down and laughing with my son. Or, you know, like, let's look at the same peekaboo book, you know, over and over and look how much he lights up.
I love that. So, Katie, what's the one accomplishment in your business that you're most proud of?
The coolest thing for me in work was giving a TEDx talk in Minot, North Dakota last September. I had the opportunity to stand up in front of a crowd and talk about story and, you know, kind of my background on story and why I think story is so important to our lives and, you know, celebrating each other, connecting with our communities. Just, I just waxed on about how much story I think matters to our communities.
That's amazing. I actually got to see your TED Talk, and it was very good, very inspiring. How did that work? Did you just get asked to go do it, or is there an application process?
There's an application process that I applied for. They also do often seek out people to talk, so you can kind of get it in either direction. I think they try to pick out a selection of people who have applied and a selection of people that they contact that they think could bring a really well-rounded experience to their entire event.
And can you explain for our listeners who might not know, what is TED all about? What's a TED Talk? What does that mean exactly?
Sure. TED Talks are these events that happen internationally, and especially a lot of them happening in the United States. There are the TED Talks, which are just the really huge events, and then there are the TEDx Talks, which are sponsored by people within the community. And they are basically a collaboration of people who have ideas. They can be about arts, education, technology, and basically you buy a ticket and you can go to this event and you're just blown away. You know, you listen to some, like, I think it's like 9 talks throughout the day from different people. And they share their story. They give, you know, their TED Talk or their TEDx Talk. And then the cool thing is that there's different activities and stuff going on between the talks. There's like a, you know, big dinner, just all kinds of different things going on locally. So the local experience is really amazing. You can talk to the speakers and ask them questions. Then what's really wonderful for everybody else who can't actually attend, because you know, it's not practical for all of us to go to Minot, North Dakota, for example. You can later watch all of those TEDx talks or those TED Talks live on YouTube and on the TED website.
That does sound amazing. I would love to go to a TED event and just hear about ideas. I'm such an ideas person, although Sarah's
that's
probably rolling
eyes
right now. No, too scary, right? I would come home with a million more ideas.
I would never survive, Bethann, if you went to a TED Talk full of all sorts of ideas. You would just kill me.
I'd come home with 1,000 new things to add to our list of business ideas, but anyways.
Do not go.
Fine, I'll continue to watch them online.
Oh no, we need to take away your internet access.
Well, that's what my sister-in-law would do when she would wake up, you know, with her newborn to nurse in the middle of the night. She just watched TED Talk after TED Talk after TED Talk.
Wow. Hey, I think that's a great use of time. That's cool.
She's much more industrious than I am, because when I was nursing Sullivan, I was watching Drop Dead Diva in the middle of the night.
Hey, we all have our guilty pleasure. There could be worse.
You had mentioned earlier that now's a bit of a slow. You said it was busy, but you said you expect that, you know, things to pick up at the end of the year, I'm guessing, for Christmas sales. How do you handle maybe like the ebb and flow of sales throughout the year with budgeting maybe, but also like time management when you know you're going to be just slammed with orders at Christmas? How do you make that work?
Finding the right balance is tricky in the first year. I remember this other Etsy seller told me, you know, no matter how much you prepare at Christmas, you're still going to be slammed. And it's been so true, because you know, each year your business will keep growing and growing. So what we have found is that at Gadanka, the summertime, like July and early August, are our slowest season, because that's when we're all out having fun. You know, we're going camping, we're going on vacation. It's not really a time when you want to necessarily sit down and reflect in your journal and, you know, drink your cup of tea. You want to do those things through the winter. So as the cold season starts returning, then our sales just start growing and growing and growing. And in January, our sales are just as big as they are at Christmas time because, again, you know, it's like that cold weather. We need something to help us just kind of reflect and enjoy, you know, just snuggling under the blankets. So the best ways that we have found to juggle that finance-wise, it's kind of a, you know, you have to pay yourself and just sort of budget it. Sort of like a teacher, you know, they're not, at least in the case of my mom, she's not getting paid in the 3 months where she's not working. So she kind of has to schedule out, you know, how she's going to make her finances work because obviously she still has her living expenses in the summer. So we do the exact same thing. Now, I said that, you know, right now we're really busy and it's not so much with the actual customer interactions right now with the sales to the levels that they are during our busy season. We actually turn the summer into a busy season for ourselves because it's busy internally. So this is when we are revamping any of the journals. So for example, I have just redid the baby book, got some nice updates in there. We've just launched a mother-son journal to accompany the mother-daughter journal. This is when we're rebuilding our website. This is when we're getting the inventory stocked up. It's when employees are getting trained. They're learning their systems. We're creating systems. Like, how do we want to be trying, you know, this new social media thing? So we get it really established. And then when we start getting busy with the regular business stuff again, we have these systems created. And then we don't have to be fumbling through them because they just flow naturally at that point.
That sounds so smart to be working on training and systems during your slow time, and then you'll be ready to jump in, I'm sure, in the busy Christmas season. And that's interesting how the cold is a factor in your journal sales. I never would have associated the two things, but that makes perfect sense. That's really interesting.
So, Katie, I know you have staff that also works on Gadanka. How many employees do you have, and how does that process work? How do you hire them, and is part of your system the training of those employees and getting them ready for the busy winter season?
We currently have two employees. They both work part-time. One's an artist and one is a student. So I like that I can give them something that can support them in their personal goals too. That's one thing that I personally strive to do. Like, how can I enable people to follow their dreams while, you know, also helping us at Gadanka and following our dreams here? And as a result of that, we find that our employees are really passionate about what they're doing then, because, you know, when you feel like you have somebody who you work for who cares about what you're doing and cares about your life, at least when I was on the other end as the employee, I felt like that just made all the difference. So each day I make sure I tell my employees, thank you for helping me. You know, thank you for the work that you've done here, because ultimately we all have the choice of where we spend our time and where we work.
That's so true.
Katie, I think it's wonderful that you are concerned with your employees and their personal development as well. That's certainly, I think, probably a rare quality in the business world. So I commend you on that for sure. I know that your business, your sales volume ebbs and flows, as we've talked about, but has there been like a true low point in your business or a really big struggle you've encountered with your business? And what was that and how did you push past that?
The slowest time in our business was definitely when I was trying to juggle running Gadanka and we were trying to build our home in the airplane hangar. You know, you only have so many hours where you can actively be working on something each day. So it was definitely a self-induced thing. And at this point, Martin and I sat down and like, okay, do we want to make Gadanka into something awesome? Or do we want to let it just kind of, you know, be on the side? When we can work on it, we work on it. When we can't, we don't. And we looked at each other and we just thought of all of the incredible feedback we've been getting from customers. Like, you know, people who are finding reasons to celebrate their lives and to dream and look forward because the journals that we've created have helped them to do that. And, you know, just like ideas like that just blow me away, because I didn't realize what an incredible impact these products could have. Or, you know, the mother-daughter journal and how it's helping bridge these gaps between mothers and their children. And I didn't know that I could help people in that way. And I don't think that Martin and I ever thought that we could create a business that could enrich people's lives so much. So, you know, we could easily be doing aviation-related things here, or, you know, Martin's engineering, or a dozen other things. But at the end of the day, we said, you know, let's see if we can make Good Anka be the priority in our career right now. And so now we're, you know, getting away from those low points where it hasn't been a focus and making it be the focus.
That's incredible. I love hearing about the way your business is changing people's lives.
Your stories about journaling and how it is storytelling is so important, and how it's helping people connect. It totally makes me want to get a journal and start journaling myself. It just sounds so cathartic to really start recording these things. And I think you had a story on your blog or somewhere about your grandmother, and she couldn't remember so many things from her childhood. And I know our grandmother is getting elderly, and I know she has so many stories that we're going to be losing when she passes away. And when my grandfather passed away, he was just a fantastic storyteller. And that's one thing that I wish we could have found a way to capture, or that he would have captured for us, all of his wonderful memories and stories that he had to share. So I think I need to go out and get a journal now.
That's the incredible thing about keeping a journal too, is because often we'll look at other people and be like, well, shoot, you know, like I see these awesome stories that my grandma didn't think mattered. And, you know, just like, grandma, why don't you think those are just amazing? And the funny thing is that you and I probably have really amazing stories too. We just haven't actually discovered those. And I think that's really a great power of keeping a journal. It helps you bring those stories to the surface and, you know, pull them from your heart and makes you aware.
That's so true. And Sarah, don't just get any journal. You need to get a Good Anka journal, because
I will.
But Katie actually, she does a great job of, it's not just, you know, a bunch of blank pages. There will be prompts to, in many of her journals, some prompts to help you kind of get going on writing that story and thinking about what matters from that day or whatever the case is. So I love that about your journals, Katie.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I guess that's one thing I should tell you guys. It was, of course, the two of you know that the Good Anka journals, they're not just the blank book. They are. They're filled with the different writing prompts that I've created over the years from my experiences in Berlin and from Montana, and just, you know, all the different types of people that I've interacted with and learned how to draw out their stories. Another thing that I always love about our journals is the binding, and that's the rings. They open and they close so that, you know, if there's a page you want to add to your journal, if you want to keep photographs or cool cards from your grandma, you can easily tuck those in there and keep them together. So it's kind of like a scrapbook mixed with a journal.
That sounds wonderful. We touched on this a little bit earlier, I think, but are there some online tools or apps or things that you could recommend to our listeners for keeping yourself organized or helping your business grow? Anything of that nature?
You know, I would actually go in the opposite direction. Sometimes I think we feel like, well, I'll only do better if I have this tool. And one thing that I was slow to do is get on Instagram, because I thought, well, you have to have a smartphone. You can't be on Instagram if you don't have a smartphone. And I still don't have a smartphone. So, you know, I am like a pen and paper girl. I do have an iPad so that I'm using Instagram. But I've kind of actually stepped away from using a lot of apps and a lot of online tools because sometimes, you know, I think we'll invest so much time into them. And that the truth is that they're actually taking away from that energy you could be putting into your business. Not always.
That's a very interesting perspective. I think there's definitely some truth to that. Sometimes we're looking for the next big thing or tool or that somehow that will be that miracle item to help things grow. But in all honesty, there's just a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into growing a business. So
yes, blood, sweat, and tears. That's exactly it.
And speaking of that, what would you say has been the best way that you've grown your business into what is now the essentially full-time income for your family?
The single best thing I did was I was a blogger before I started my shop. So, you know, I already had a community of women and men that I could relate to and that could relate to me. And, you know, I wasn't going online to push a product on them. I was going online to connect with them.
So then when you decided to create your journals, that audience was already right there, ready to receive your beautiful journals that you'd created then.
Yeah.
I think that's a great perspective because in any business, connecting with people is so important. And so by putting yourself out there and telling your story and giving other people the chance to relate to you and connect with you, then of course, you know, when they're ready to journal or even they're thinking of buying a thoughtful gift for someone else, they're thinking of you. You know, they have that relationship with you. So I think that's a very interesting perspective on growing a business.
Yes, I think that right now, relationships are definitely so important and often easily overlooked when you are thinking of starting a small business online. So, you know, even if you're opening up an Etsy shop, let's see a picture of you. Let's tell us your name. Tell us where you live. Like, you don't have to say exactly what town you live in, but, you know, tell us what state you're in or just connect with us a little bit more than just being products.
Speaking of Etsy, I was curious, how did you share with your Etsy customers that you could be found in a new spot without losing old customers? Was there something that you did? Because Etsy can be pretty specific about rules on what you can do as far as communications or directing people to other websites and platforms.
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, you're not allowed to put on your Etsy shop, like, go find me at, you know, my new shop is located here and give your website. And that makes sense, you know, because it's the Etsy community and that's it. First and foremost, it's the Etsy community. It's not the whatever the name of your shop is. So I just did it by announcing it on my blog. Like, I've decided to open this new shop. And, you know, like I mentioned, the godanka.com/share. So the people could flip through journals and share them. So I think that it's just kind of an approach you have to take by using your social media, using your Facebook. And you can certainly contact your old customers, you know, with a newsletter and stuff like that.
Good. Thanks. So, Katie, you mentioned that you're in the process of creating an affiliate program for Godanka. Can you explain to our listeners how the development of that has worked and maybe some tips on how they could develop affiliate programs for their products?
Sure. Well, the Godanka affiliate program is at godanka.com/affiliate. And basically, it is our way to reward people who talk about Godanka online, whether it's on your blog or on social media, like, you know, on your personal Facebook account. Because I was a blogger before I became a small business owner, I really wanted to give something back to bloggers because blogging takes a lot of work. And I think that we don't always realize just how much people put into creating their blogs. So I told Martin, you know, let's do something that we can give back to people. And so then, you know, if you buy a Gadanka journal, or if you just want to spread the word about it, like at Christmas time or whatever, then if you use our affiliate program, then, you know, anytime somebody clicks on the link from you to Gadanka, then and makes a purchase, then you receive a percentage of that sale. You can use different programs to create affiliates. There's a number of them, and as Martin and I sat down to figure out, well, what way do we want to go, all those different programs will charge a percentage fee, or probably a flat fee as well. And we thought, well, wait a second, Martin can build this, so we're going to instead pass that additional percentage on to all of the people that are using our affiliate program. So we are a self-hosted affiliate program. If you want to do an affiliate program for ebooks, for example, I know that that's always an easier one to step into first. eJunkie is a really good one to begin with, because you can give people their ebook immediately and keep track of affiliates, and it's very hands-off.
That's good to know. I've heard of eJunkie before, but I've never looked into all the details. So, and then with Martin building your affiliate program, so somehow he's developed a way where each affiliate who signs up essentially gets their own custom link, and he has a system behind the scenes that then tracks which sales come through on that particular link.
Exactly. And so then let's say somebody comes back to us a week later, or, you know, like these different guidelines that we'll create and provide to you, then you still get that affiliate sale through us.
That's right. Wow. So it really is a tricky thing. He certainly is a smart guy to figure out how to set all of that up and make that work. That's impressive.
So you had mentioned to us earlier when we were, before we started recording, that maybe some of our listeners could join your affiliate program if they love your journals as much as we do.
Absolutely. Anybody who is online as a blogger, or as somebody who, you know, you're on Facebook, whatever you do, if you would like to join our affiliate program, we are definitely, you know, we want to meet you. So just visit gadanka.com/affiliate.
So Katie, do you have a favorite business book or some great business advice or an inspirational quote that you love?
My best advice is to believe in yourself. And I think that it's so easy when things are hard, when you don't have the sales that you want, you don't have the page views you want, or whatever it is that you're wishing you could do, just keep going and believe in yourself. And yeah, you know, the times will be hard sometimes, but there'll also be really good times. So one thing that I do too is I keep a spreadsheet of customer feedback, because when you get, let's say, one bad review, and even if it's not like really bad, it's just, yeah, it was okay. Yeah, your products don't really, yeah, whatever. You know, like that can hurt more than 100 amazing comments and amazing feedback. So part of keep believing in yourself to me is that spreadsheet with some of that amazing feedback, so that when I'm like, well, shoot, what am I doing? I just look at that and like, oh, yes. Sarah just told me that her baby book, you know, she was able to document stories about her son that she wouldn't have remembered otherwise. So, you know, she's thanking me, and okay, I can keep going, because look what I've done. Let me go do that for 50 more Sarahs, or, you know, whatever.
That is very good advice. I agree that those one negative or just even semi-negative comments can really take you down a spiral. We, with our little Etsy shop that we have, it's amazing when, even though you get so many good feedbacks, but that one not so great comment, It makes you want to be like, okay, I give up on products. Products are too hard. This is customers are hard to please. And it's easy to kind of lose that perspective that, okay, so many other people have just raved about this. So buck up. Yes. You're doing a good job.
And you know, as you go further along, the negative feedback hurts less. And I've come to realize that, you know, the better I do, the more I know that, you know, sometimes there is a customer who isn't happy no matter what. And I don't know if you can still do this on Etsy, but when I got my first negative review, I was like, well, hey, that hurts. And then I went and looked, and well, she was leaving everybody negative reviews. Like, nobody was creating something cool. So, you know, it's kind of like, why are you buying all this stuff if you're not going to like it?
Yeah, that's right. Funny.
Yeah, there are people that are just, they just like to be miserable, I think.
I do, I think so.
Oh, wow. But we'll forget about those people. Yeah,
we'll forget about that. So to wrap things up, Katie, you've shared so much with our listeners already. We've learned a ton. I've loved hearing about your story. Do you mind sharing either a funny or just adorable mom moment that's happened recently with you and Nicholas?
Oh, gosh. Well, right now I guess as I picture him in my head, all I can picture is him. He's just figured out how to pull himself up to a stand. So, you know, you turn around for 5 seconds and then you look back and he's gone into the kitchen and he's pulled himself up. So as a mom, I know that's not something like, oh my gosh, to other people, unless they've been a mom and they remember that moment too, where, you know, you turn the corner and there he is holding himself up with a big smile. And that just keeps me going every day.
Aww. I do love how kids are just so proud of themselves for their little accomplishments, and you can see it all over their faces, their huge smiles over what they've done. So I'm sure that does.
Yeah. And they just want to share it with you. Like, look at me, mom. You know,
that's so fun. But thank you so much for talking with us today.
Katie, if our listeners want to learn more about you, check out your journal, about your life, where are the best ways that they can find you?
The best places to find me are at Gadanke. That's GADANKE.com. It comes from the German word Danke, thank you. And then I'm also at my blog, makingthishome.com. And I definitely recommend our newsletter, which you can see the sign up for on Gadanke as well.
Wonderful. Thank you again for spending time to chat with us today.
Oh, it was so much fun, you guys. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. I hope you learned something from Katie today. I know I certainly did. You can find the show notes and resources mentioned in this episode at brilliantbusinessmoms.com/33. And as a little update after the recording of this episode, I did in fact order a journal from Katie at Gadanke. And I must say it is really cute. I am really looking forward to getting started writing in this journal. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. So I would definitely encourage you to check her out. Just like Katie is so thoughtful in all areas of her life, that really shows through in the journals that she creates. So head on over and check her out and maybe sign up for her new affiliate program. And thank you to my friend Julie, who actually told us about Katie at Gadanke. So thank you so much, Julie. And I appreciate all of your help and support with the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. Hope you have a great day, and be sure to stop by and say hello on Facebook or leave us a comment. We would love to chat with you. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.